Hey, this is Maya, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show.
Oh, Brad, what have you done now?
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the one and the only, the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. Welcome back to the show, guys. It's been a minute. I've taken a couple weeks off, been trying to get a lot of things done. It's the end of the year, so it always seems to be the easiest time, or the easiest, the busiest time of the year. I've been doing some shopping. It was Thanksgiving. Had some stuff going on. I just tried to get all the loose ends tied up, but I'm back. I'm back from the future. Welcome to the show, episode 176 of the Brad Gilmore Show. There's a lot to go over. I've missed quite a bit of things. I missed Crown Jewel and Shawn Michaels' return. I've missed Survivor Series. There's been a lot of things. A Takeover special. A lot of UFC stuff has gone on. So I've just kind of been looking at everything, trying to figure out, you know, where do I go first? What do I talk about first? I know we've been doing a lot of good stuff with Reality Wrestling. Have something major to announce. Like, when I say major, I mean on a 1 to 10, these go to 11. You know what I mean? Shout out to my Spinal Tap reference. But these go to 11 on this one. So that should be coming. What's today? Today's the 25th, 6th? Should be coming maybe in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You'll find out this big, huge, huge news that me and the Booker Man are going to be dropping on everybody. So stay tuned to Heated Conversations, to, you know, at Booker T5X on Twitter, the realitywrestling.com, realitywrestling.com, and all that good stuff. Should be a major announcement. Also, it's the holiday season. So I'm going to get into a couple things about the holidays. But first, I want to start here. I talked about, you know, I said we haven't really gotten to discuss Crown Jewel, meaning the event itself. You know, I know I talked a little bit about the controversy leading up to, and then I didn't really talk much about it afterward. Now, Booker T and I spoke on it, and there were, as there are sometimes, our show will make news, you know, quite frequently, and this was no exception. We were discussing the Saudi Arabia show, and Booker made a comment about it shouldn't matter what the government is doing at any given time when it comes to a sporting event, right? So if WWE wants to go to Saudi Arabia, it shouldn't matter what's going on in Saudi Arabia at that time or any time. The government, it shouldn't matter what the government is doing. Maybe I should say that. Because, you know, of course, there was the issue with Jamal Khashoggi. I think I'm saying that name right. I hope I am. The journalist who ended up being dismantled and dismembered by the Saudi Arabian government due to his opinions. He was outspoken against the kingdom. And they didn't take too kindly to that, obviously. And it's a completely awful, awful and horrific thing that that country did. And that the government of that country did. And the leaders. And it sounds like, was it Mohammed, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the king or the prince of Saudi Arabia, crown prince of Saudi Arabia? He was the one who ordered it. And this is all alleged. I don't know. You know, I try to stay out of that stuff. But obviously, it's terrible what happened. So anyway, we were discussing it. And Booker said, you know, it doesn't matter what the country's doing at the time. If a sporting event wants to go to there, you know, like WWE, you know, they should be able to, the fans shouldn't be punished, I guess is what we were saying, for what the government is doing. You know, the fans should still get their WWE fix if they want the WWE fix. So we said that, and Booker said something even to the effect of, you know, what was he even, you know, doing there, you know, referring to Jamal in the Turkish consulate. And I don't really even want to break open that can of worms. And perhaps it was mistimed of what he said or taken out of context, shall I say. Because we were going out of the segment, going to break. Sometimes, you know, things can be said, you know, when we're trying to go to a break and get out of a segment. So I'm not even going to really address that comment. But the whole thing about him saying, you know, WWE can bring change. They've brought change. What was it, in Abu Dhabi or somewhere there about where Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss had their first women's match ever in the region. And the fans were chanting, you know, this is hope in English. So WWE has shown that they can bring change, and they're working to bring change. I mean, Renee Young worked the Saudi Arabia Crown Jewel show, and she was on commentary for that. So, small minor changes, you know, are occurring. So Booker pretty much said, look, WWE can make change happen, and, you know, you have to play the game to change the game, and that's essentially what we said. And then one of my favorite people in the world, and someone I have a little bit of a history with, Mr. David G. Meltzer. I don't know if that's his real middle name, but I'm going to call him David G. Meltzer. David G. Meltzer went on some show that he has. I don't really know how his whole thing works because he's still selling People Magazine, you know, the People Magazine of Pro Wrestling to everybody, and claiming these stories are real, and he's got all these. So I don't know what to believe. I don't know how you get it. I don't know where it's at. I don't know if you have to pay for it. I think you got to pay for it. I don't even know. I stay away. But sometimes people will bring stuff to my attention, as in this case. One of the listeners of Heated Conversations, I'm assuming, or a follower of mine on Twitter, he hit me in the DM. He's like, hey, check this clip out. David G. Meltzer called Booker T an idiot. I was like, whoa. You know, I throw that term around a lot, you know, on the show and on all my shows. I say he's an idiot. It comes from upbringing. His parents are probably idiots too. And one time, Booker and I were talking about Terrell Owens not going to the Hall of Fame ceremony. And I said, he's an idiot. It comes from upbringing. His parents are probably idiots too. And Booker was like, hey man, we don't say that about people. And this is what he told me on air. You can find it. It was on the show. He told me that on air. And I was like, oh, okay. Obviously, this is a word that not to be taken lightly by the Booker man. Understandable. So David G. Meltzer goes on his show and he starts talking about what Booker and I discussed on the show. And he said, what did Booker T say about Saudi Arabia? He's such an idiot. And then he finds the quote where Booker said WWE can bring change and that WWE fans want to go to the show and they should be allowed to go to the show. And David G. Meltzer said something to the effect of, well, you know, they weren't all WWE fans, but there were some WWE fans. So, you know, and I'm so sick of hearing this WWE can bring change. And then they go on, they talk about it a little bit more, and then he calls him an idiot another time in reference to the what was he doing over there quote, meaning the journalist in the Turkish consulate. Okay. So I go and I tweet out, you know, Dave Meltzer called Booker T an idiot for saying that fans around the world should be able to see WWE shows regardless of what the politics of the country is. Which I don't think is a crazy thing to say, first off. To say, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on there. If you're a fan, you should be a fan. It's like, you know, Liverpool Football Club saying, we want to play in the U.S. again and do another U.S. tour, but, you know, we don't really like your president, so we're just going to stay over here. All the Liverpool fans in the U.S. are going to be like, come on, man. What? What, Klopp? Come on, Klopp. Don't do me like that, Klopp. Fenway Sports Group, don't do me like that. Right? So that's kind of the example. And maybe it's an unfair comparison, but that was the example. So I didn't think that was so crazy to say for Booker, and let alone to be called an idiot over. You're talking about a guy who's a 35-time wrestling champion, WWE Hall of Famer, still employed by the company, has done so many things, successful author, best-selling author, you know, comic book writer, you know, the list, radio host, successful radio host, number one show in the city. You know, I think that he's got some credits to his name, which probably, you know, those factoids I just threw out there probably lend themselves to say that Booker T is anything but an idiot. So David G. Meltzer said this. So I just go on Twitter and I tweet out, you know, this is what Dave Meltzer said about Booker T. David G. Meltzer said about Booker T. Call him an idiot. I think the term's more appropriate for Dave. That's all I said. And I tagged him in it because, you know, I'm not going to just talk about somebody and not put their name in the tweet, right? I'm not going to not tag them in the tweet. And a lot of people like to do that. And I'll get into that in a minute. So I do that. And I forgot about, and there was that night, forgot about Twitter, woke up the next day, didn't even check it. It was probably not until around lunchtime, you know, that I checked my Twitter account. I saw a lot of responses, you know, in support of my tweet. I'm not going to lie. A lot of people supported the tweet. They said, yeah, you know, FDM, which is a Bruce Pritchard special there. A lot of people chimed in. And then a guy, Bixenspan, David Bixenspan, jumped in my DMs. And this is a guy who went on the Sam Roberts show a few months back, maybe back in, what was that, January, February, whenever Booker and Corey and I, we all had the thing on Heated Conversations. It was really the thing between Booker and I talking about Corey, and then the thing with Corey and Booker started. Then we had Corey on the show, the three of us, and we all kind of laughed about it. Right? And this Bixenspan guy got really hot about it because I guess he was fooled. I don't really remember. I guess he was upset that Booker and Corey, you know, pulled this whole the wool over the eyes. And they were upset that in the show we said, you know, not one person who ran a story about this, no one reached out to anybody to confirm it. They just ran with it. And we were talking about like Forbes, you know, USA Today, SB Nation, the litany of people ran with this story. And I believe Bixenspan was one of them. And I think this led to an altercation between Bixenspan and Graves. And forgive me if my facts are off. I'm not a journalist, so I don't know. But I think Bixenspan and Corey Graves got into it. And Corey Graves said, you know, wrestling journalism isn't a real thing. And that's then it prompted a Deadspin article, which referenced the whole story with Booker. And then he went on the Sam Roberts show, and he tried to, like, I guess, downgrade Booker and I's show, calling it a non-wrestling local radio show, which was hilarious to me, that our show would be considered a non-wrestling local radio show, even though it's hosted by a wrestling Hall of Famer and a pro wrestling broadcaster of 6 years. And we talk about wrestling a lot, as well as mixed martial arts. I guess it's a non-wrestling local radio show. Oh, and, you know, by the way, it was, you know, in the top 10 on iTunes in the sports and recreation category, along with other wrestling podcasts. And I guess it's just a non-wrestling show, though. It doesn't matter. It's local, right? Even though it was, you know, top 10 in the country, it's a local non-wrestling radio show. So I remember him throwing that out there, and he and I got into it on Twitter, and I even said, you know, how are we a non-wrestling local radio show? And he went to, I guess, the show feed, the iTunes feed, and he saw Michael Rapaport was a guest on the show. Michael Rapaport, awesome dude. We have him on the show from time to time. Love Michael Rapaport. And he said, well, Michael Rapaport is on this show. Obviously, Michael Rapaport is non-wrestling. And I was like, oh, that's funny that you brought up that show, because that show that you just brought up, Bixenspan, with Michael Rapaport, also had Samoa Joe and Goldberg. You know, it was hilarious to me. To me, it was hilarious. So we got into it a little bit. And then he went on, like I said, he was on the Sam Roberts show, and Sam defended Book and Corey's stance. And I really agreed with Sam to where I believe there are people out there who are covering wrestling who are absolute journalists. I don't know if wrestling journalism is technically a thing, right? I think if the story's big enough, i.e. the example they gave was the Hulk Hogan Gawker trial, that's a mainstream story that revolves around a wrestling figure. I don't know if that's wrestling journalism. So anyway, that's who this character is, David Bixenspan. So he jumps in my, you know, mentions and starts blowing me up about, I haven't heard or read what Dave Meltzer said, but I know Dave's work well enough to know that he probably wasn't referring to what you've tweeted out. He was referring to another comment Booker made, which I thought was just a stupid statement, just to be frank about it. I haven't read it and I haven't heard it, but I know you're wrong. Because I know Dave's work well enough. David G. Mitchell. Or David G. Meltzer. So this is what he said. And, you know, I went back at him. We went back and forth a couple of times. And then my mention started blowing up like crazy. And people started saying that I was defending Saudi Arabia. I even had someone who I won't really name, but he sent me the longest DM I've ever gotten from anybody. And I appreciate his reaching out. Let me see. Where is it?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate his reaching out and saying, you know, some of the things that he said and some of the things I completely disagreed with. But I got the longest DM of my lifetime from a guy who's, I guess, well-known in the MMA, you know, pro wrestling world as far as, you know, covering the sports. Okay. So anyway. People started saying that I was defending Saudi Arabia. That was just an asinine thing to say. Not anywhere close to what I was saying. I was defending Booker's comment saying that wrestling fans from anywhere in the world should be allowed to enjoy pro wrestling. That's essentially what Booker said, regardless of what their government is doing at the time. That's really what he said. And then Dave Meltzer directly called him an idiot over that. So I had the issue with David G. Meltzer. End of story. I told Bixenspan that he could call into Heated Conversations and tell Booker, because he agreed with Dave and said that Booker was an idiot. I said, why don't you tell Booker it to himself? And then, you know, he told me this wasn't about Booker. This is about, you know, me responding to a comment that you made. And I'm like, well, it's a comment about Booker. And you saying you're agreeing with the comment. Why don't you tag Booker in the tweets? Tell him he's an idiot. Or better yet, here's the number to the and I did this publicly. I said, here's the number of the radio show. Here's the hours we're going to be on. This is the station we're going to be on. You're more than welcome to come on. Call in. Voice your opinion then. And then he said, if you're serious, DM me. I DM'd him the same thing. I said, you're more than welcome to come on my show anytime so we can discuss this further. At this time, I've heard no more from David Bixenspan. And here's the thing. I don't want to start a beef with David Bixenspan at all. That's not what this is about, anywhere close to it. In all honesty, even though he and I disagree on probably a lot of things, especially with in terms to Booker T, in reference to Booker T and what he says Booker T is and what I know him not to be, I respect anybody who's out there and has made a name for themselves. And, you know, he's worked with Deadspin and stuff like that. So honestly, truly and honestly, this isn't even, I'm not doing this condescendingly or sarcastically. You know, shout out to David Bixenspan and much success to you and your entire career. This isn't about you, but, you know, you kind of jumped in there. I wanted to address it on my show. I still have an open invitation to you, David, and I have all the respect for you in the world. For everything you've accomplished in your life. And like I said, I wish you 1,000 years of success. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit because it annoyed me. It bothered me, especially because I just made a comment and then I had unsolicited people challenging me on it. And that's fine. I don't mind it. But, you know, there are a lot of people out here who have this blind allegiance. And I don't know if Bixenspan's one of them, but let me just say this. There's a lot of people who have a blind allegiance to Dave Meltzer, David G. Meltzer. And they have this blind allegiance to him because they've paid this man money out of their pockets. I don't know how much it is. I'm pretty sure you got to pay for it. I know there's a website, there's a newsletter, there's a radio thing, there's a whole nine. When I say I don't know how it works, I'm honest in that. I've never subscribed to the newsletter. I've never paid for the newsletter. I've never read the newsletter. You know, I've heard clips that people have sent me of things that he said on this. I think it's a paid show that you do. I don't know how it all works. I know people, though, pay for it. I'm pretty sure this is how it occurs. I know people subscribe. If you subscribe to something, you're paying for it. Okay, so we know that people pay for this newsletter. And if you're listening to the show and you subscribe to the Wrestling Observer, that is fine. I don't think that there's anything wrong with subscribing to the Wrestling Observer. Many people do it. Many people I respect do it. But I've had many conversations about things that have been reported in the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Some conversations on the record, like with Bruce Pritchard, before Something to Wrestle With, before his big public beef with Dave Meltzer, and Dave Meltzer was calling him a con man, and all other kinds of inflammatory statements, before any of that, Bruce Pritchard was on this show. You can find the show here. It's called Bruce Pritchard, the Yodam Interviews, Y-O-D-M Interviews. We had him on, and we talked about Dave Meltzer at length. And this was actually at the time right after WrestleMania in, you know, Jerry World, AT&T Stadium, after they set their record of 101,672 or something like that people. And that was that conversation. You can go back and listen to it. It's in the archives. You'll enjoy it. But I've had many conversations with people and who know firsthand what actually occurred. And not just Bruce, many people know firsthand what actually occurred in many of these situations that are widely reported on. And then I know what's said about them from Dave Meltzer and people of his ilk and people who work with him. And I know that stuff that he says is completely inaccurate. Now, I'm not going to be so biased to the levels of a politician and say that everything that David G. Meltzer says is incorrect. Because he's been correct about things before. And I won't even call Dave Meltzer, a broken clock is right twice a day kind of thing. That's not giving him enough credit. This is how I view Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer is your local weatherman. We all know our local weathermen. We trust our local weathermen. We've probably seen them for a very long time at the channel of our choice. And that weatherman will give you the 7-day forecast. Monday's going to have a high of 78, low of 52 or whatever, right? Might be a little bit cloudy. Tuesday, it's going to be sunny. Wednesday, it's going to rain. Thursday, it's going to snow. Friday, it's going to be an inferno. I don't know, right? They do the 7-day forecast. And you look at it, you're like, oh, okay. Well, that must be what the weather's going to be like this day. And then if the weatherman says it's going to rain on Tuesday and it doesn't rain, you go, oh, okay, well, I guess something changed, right? The weather changed. The plans changed, right? Now, if he says it's going to rain on Wednesday and it rains on Wednesday, well, he was right. And then he says, well, I was right about that. I told you it was going to rain and it rained, right? I didn't get it right on Tuesday. I got it right on Wednesday. That's how I view Dave Meltzer. Sometimes he's absolutely right. From stuff that I read, he's absolutely right on some things. There are a good number of things that he has said and done over the years and more, and it's like small things and some are large things that he said and done over the years and even in recent weeks and months that he is wrong about. And then, he'll say the plans change line, which I know is thrown at him a lot, but it's thrown at him a lot because it's accurate. That is said a lot, something went different, plans changed, whatever. But when you watch your local weatherman for so many years, you're invested in him. When you pay somebody money for what you perceive to be insider information for so many years, you feel indebted to him for some reason. You feel connected to him. So you feel like you have to defend him no matter what happens. And that is what occurs anytime somebody attacks Dave Meltzer. I button my lip about David G. Meltzer so much. The only times I ever reference him, ever, is when he either references me or my show or Booker and the show. If you bring up the show, I'm sorry. I'm going to chime in on it. If you bring up Booker T., and it was in reference to a conversation that myself and Booker T had, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to make mention of you. The only other time I've ever mentioned Dave Meltzer anywhere else was in those interviews with Bruce Pritchard, in which he admits that Dave Meltzer was on payroll with WWE. And I don't know how you can be a fair and unbiased journalist if you've been on the payroll of the company that you're reporting on. And the only other time besides that is when Dave and I had a public spat over the WrestleMania attendance numbers. Once again, covered ad nauseum. We can go into it some other time, but he was way off, and his organization were way off on their initial projections for the WrestleMania attendance numbers. And by the time they arrived at their final number, WWE's 101,000 was way more accurate than Dave's final number or Dave's reporting throughout. Right. So I guess my point in this rant that I'm going on is that I understand the people out there who subscribe to the newsletter and feel like they got to defend Dave, whether it be the Bixen Span, the other people who jumped in my mentions or my DMs. I get it. But just because David G. Meltzer says something and you feel that you have to defend him, and he's never wrong. That's the thing about the people who defend him. He's never wrong. I'm sitting here on the show, on the record, saying Dave Meltzer's been right about things a lot. He can be right a lot. He can be wrong a lot too. That's not something that you're going to hear from the other side. That's why you'll get a tweet from somebody saying, I have not heard or read what Dave Meltzer said, but I can tell you, being familiar with his work, this is what he meant and this is what he was referencing. That's why you get those tweets. It's very odd. Strange times we're living in, but guys, very strange times. But that's my rant on David G. Meltzer. Don't call somebody an idiot, by the way, Dave. In all honesty, if you wouldn't say it to their face. And I know you're in great shape. You know, you're jacked. You know, you're jacked in your 60s. But you wouldn't say that to Booker's face. You wouldn't call anyone that you report on an idiot to their face. Come on now. And once again, open invitation to David G. Meltzer, to David Bixenspan, and anybody else who wants to debate me on the merits of my original argument, which was people tried to change what I was saying. Like, I saw it go from, I'm defending Booker saying WWE should be able to have shows wherever they want as long as they're WWE fans there and the fans shouldn't be punished for the government. Literally, it went from me defending Booker's statement of that. It went from that to, you're a state sponsor of murder and you're endorsing them. So crazy. So crazy. Over a pro wrestling story and in defense of a guy who's nothing more than a gossip columnist. I'm sorry. Like I said, gossip columnists are right too. They get stuff right. Page Six, TMZ. TMZ, they get stuff right. Sometimes they get stuff wrong. A lot of the times they get stuff wrong. So don't get hot about it when I call out somebody who called somebody I know in reference to something that I was in the room for, called him an idiot. And I just don't think that that's fair. I don't think it's fit. So yeah, let's move off of that, please. Gosh, help me and Lord. I want to talk about something else here on the show. Because I watched it last night and we talked about it on the radio show, Booker and I did. And you can check out what we said before the fight, but Chuck Tito 3, man. Oh, man. So I think it was Bellator 123 or something like that. But it was in Houston. And the main event was Royce Gracie versus Ken Shamrock. The co-main was Dada 5000 versus Kimbo Slice. I was there for those fights. I was sitting 15 feet away from the cage, right? I was sitting 10 feet away from Mike Tyson and Kurt Angle and Matt Hughes and King Booker, right? So I was hyped to see Dada and Kimbo. I was hyped to see Royce Gracie, Ken Shamrock. That's nostalgia, man. That's UFC 1, right? So we saw what happened in those fights, and those fights were what they were, and they weren't the best exhibition or they weren't the best example of what mixed martial arts can and should be. So, brings me to Chuck Tito 3. Chuck Liddell, the Iceman, and Tito Ortiz, without a doubt, I mean, just like The Rock and Stone Cold were the guys who got me into pro wrestling, it made me fans. Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell are the people who made me fans of mixed martial arts. Without those two guys, I probably never would have been interested in MMA. I remember The Ultimate Fighter would come on after, I think it was Raw on Spike TV. And the first season was Team Chuck versus Team Tito. and it got me in. And the Chuck Tito rivalry, the Huntington Beach bad boy, the Iceman, that got me invested, right, in MMA, in the UFC. So when I heard that there was going to be Chuck Tito 3, I was excited. You know, I was excited the Iceman's going to come out of retirement. That's dope, right? That's real dope. And we're going to see, you know, him and Ortiz one more time. Because we saw Ortiz in versus Chael, and he looked pretty good, and he retired. And now both men coming out of retirement for one final fight. And we're going to see it on pay-per-view with Golden Boy MMA in California, Los Angeles, baby. Whoa. And I was hyped for it. You know, I was excited. I was a little bit, you know, I don't know if Chuck should be getting back in the octagon. You know, I don't know if that's a great idea for the Chuckster, you know. And but regardless of that, it was going to happen. Regardless of how I felt or thought, it was going to happen. So I start last night when we're getting ready for the show. I'm looking at the stuff and I'm like, man, you know, the last time Chuck even fought was in June of 2010 against Rich Franklin, in which he lost. Last time he ever won was against Wanderlei Silva, and that was in 2007. The last time that he won by knockout, which is what he was known for, last time he won by knockout was in 2006, and that was against Tito Ortiz in their second fight. I was like, man, you know, my gut was telling me, this is not going to be good. This is going to be ugly. And I'm watching them walk to the octagon. Ortiz looks good, man. I was like, man, Tito Ortiz looks pretty good. Chuck, when he was walking to the octagon, something felt off. And it was the same kind of feeling I had when I saw Conor walk to that fight, walk to the octagon in the fight against Khabib. I was like, something's not right here. You know, it's like Conor doesn't seem to have that same energy. And Chuck didn't have that same energy walking. It wasn't the Iceman of old, but I thought, you know what? He's probably got a little nerves. He hadn't done this in 8 years. He looks good. I mean, body wise, he looked good. He looked like the Chuck Liddell of old. He didn't look like he'd been out of the octagon for 8 years. You know, he didn't look like he had aged a whole hell of a lot since 2006. To me, at least, he didn't. Still had the mohawk, still had the tats, still had that kind of paunch that he's always had, but he was in shape. Passed all the tests, you know, the whole nine yards. So I thought, okay, there might be something here, but my gut told me this was going to end very quickly, and it was going to end in round one by a knockout, Tito Ortiz. That was my prediction, and that was exactly what happened. Chuck looked like he never had his sea legs under him. He looked like he was way out of his element. He did not look like he was used to being in an octagon. I don't know how long the fight camp was, but I think maybe like, I don't know, like a good 4 months, 4 or 5 months. I know he announced back in like June that he was coming out of retirement. And there was a reason I said on the show last night with Book, I said, there's a reason Dana White was so quick to say no. Because this is the entertainment era. This is the WME era of the UFC. And you got guys, and this isn't knocking him, but you got guys like CM Punk fighting, you know, multiple times in the sport. You know, you build up more of an entertainment level fight with Conor and Khabib, or Conor's more of an entertainer. And, you know, Ronda was the entertainer back when she was in that era. You know, mainstream level name recognition fights is what you're interested in. I mean, you're even, you know, flirting with the idea of Floyd coming into the octagon, right? We're in the entertainment era, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I thought that since we're in the entertainment era, Dana White would probably jump at the opportunity to have Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, two men that I think he managed at some point, get back in the octagon in the UFC. Oh man, what an awesome moment. I mean, BJ Penn's back, you know, and fighting, right? Why not Chuck and Tito? Well, we found out why he was so quick to turn that away, you know? Because Tito, with all his injuries, probably shouldn't be in an octagon just for his own health, and Chuck shouldn't be in there for his own health as well, because he looked so out of it. He looked like a deer in headlights. Tito Ortiz was tagging him, And I hate to say this because I have so much respect for both those guys, especially Chuck Liddell. He looked like an old man. He looked like an aged athlete who didn't have it anymore and was trying to rekindle that last bit of magic in hopes that something would occur. And it just didn't. And it's sad. It's upsetting. It was hard to watch. And when Tito Ortiz tagged Chuck with that right hand and Chuck went down, I mean, he went down. He was out. He was out before he even hit the floor. You know, it was scary. I was worried about him. And I was glad to see when he was set up and, you know, he's kind of sitting up and then he stood up. I was like, okay, he's all right. He's got a hell of a mouse under his eye. He got beat the hell out of for, what, 3.5 minutes. That was an embarrassing fight. I don't know what the pay-per-view numbers were for it. I'm sure we're going to hear that maybe next week, hopefully. Tito Ortiz said if they can't do over 200,000 buys, they shouldn't be in the business of pay-per-view, or they shouldn't even be in the MMA business. I don't know if it did that, man. I want it to. I wanted it to do 100, at least 125,000 buys, because these guys were getting paid off that draw, you know, right in their pocket. And if it was successful enough, and that's what I want to know, if Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy made enough money in this that they would try it again, maybe with two other more recognizable names that maybe they can steal away from the UFC or steal away from Bellator, they might have just opened a new lane for the boys to make some more money, and the girls to make some more money. It'll be interesting to see if that was exactly, it was the case and is the case. And if it is, you know, shout out to Chuck and Tito. Even though, you know, the fight didn't turn out that well, you know, from a technical standpoint, we knew it wouldn't. Maybe they still blazed a path for more people to make more money off of MMA. We'll see. We'll see. I hope that they did. But this is what I want to say in closing on that is Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, as I said, they made me fans of the sport. Both these guys are Hall of Famers. They both have their legacies securely intact. The trilogy is over. It still ends with the Iceman up 2-1. Had this fight taken place a decade ago, I don't think that Tito Ortiz would have won that fight, but that's not the point. The point is, as much as I love them and love what they've done for the sport, and as much of a sucker as I am for nostalgia, I never want to see either one of those guys in an octagon again. Ever. Tito actually looked pretty good, but I still think with all the injuries and surgeries that he's had, I don't want to see him in an octagon ever again. Ever. Ever again. And Chuck, you came out of retirement. You did it on your terms. You made this happen. You could have changed the game of MMA forever with a new pay structure. You came back. You tried your best. You had a hell of a camp. You got in great shape. And you went out on your sword, man. On your terms. There's nothing left you have to prove to me, to any of the fans out there, or to yourself. You're the Iceman. You're a Hall of Famer. Your name is synonymous with the sport. Your rivalry with Tito Ortiz is on the Mount Rushmore of MMA. Don't get back in the octagon, man. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. Sit at home. Collect some checks. Do some acting. Get a dojo. You know, do something else. I don't want you back in that octagon. It was scary. It frightened me. And the last time I saw a fight like that, it didn't end up well for the two combatants with Dada and Kimbo. A fight that shouldn't have taken place. And, you know, Dada's a friend of mine. I know Dada. I respect Dada. But he died that night and had to be brought back to life. And then Kimbo actually died later on. Sometimes you get to that age, man, where it's just not worth it. Hey, I'm one to talk. I'm 25 years old. I got my whole life ahead of me. I'm still in my, you know, prime peak or what have you. So it's probably easier for me to say. I don't know what goes on in the mind of a 49-year-old. You know? Maybe you feel like you got to prove something to yourself. We went out there and you saw what you had against your greatest rival. You went out on your sword. Not a damn thing wrong with that. Salute Tito Ortiz. Salute Chuck Liddell. Y'all have my unwavering respect and fandom for here and evermore. And I will support anything y'all ever do, as long as it's not a fight in the octagon. Anyway, last thing I want to talk about on the show this week, and I'm going to be back later on this week to talk more wrestling. Last thing I want to talk about on the show this episode. I love the Christmas season. I have an unabashed love for it and appreciation for Christmas. I set up my Christmas lights today. I felt pretty good about it, you know. Set up the tree. I have a little Christmas village. I'm a little crazy when it comes to Christmas. So anyway, my favorite thing about the holidays is probably a lot of people's favorite thing about the holidays, aside from the gift giving and the gift receiving. My favorite thing is the Christmas movies. And so I've been toying around with the idea of doing a Christmas movie podcast. You know, a little separate show for the network. And I think I'm going to do it. Because earlier this year, I got to tell this story. I may have told it on the show before, but I have to tell it. Because my favorite Christmas movie of all time used to be Christmas Vacation, but it's been surpassed by Home Alone. Home Alone is without a doubt one of the most quotable movies of all time and a classic. Holds up. One and two. Three, I'm okay with. I'm okay on three. It's not my favorite, but it's still John Hughes. It's still 1990s. Young Scarlett Johansson's in it. You know, so I'm not mad at it. Four and five, I've never seen five. I own five on DVD. I've never seen it. Four, I've seen maybe once. Maybe one and a half times. Which is crazy, by the way. Before I get into this story, let me say this. Thanksgiving dinner, was talking to my nine, almost 10-year-old nephew about Home Alone. Asked him what's his favorite Home Alone. He said Home Alone 4, which was nuts. He's probably the first and only person in the history of the planet Earth, when you ask him what's your favorite Home Alone, goes straight to 4. Anyway, crazy. Shout out to Parker, though. So I was in New Orleans in April for WrestleMania. I'm getting there. I'm sure I've told the story, but I got to tell it again. I'm getting there for WrestleMania Radio Row, setting up. Booker and I were doing the show out there. And, you know, I'm setting up. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's Sam Roberts. Shout out to Sam Roberts. Oh, there's Pete Rosenberg, Stat Guy Greg. Shout out my guys over there. You know, we're all in this kind of little section. And then I'm looking across the ring. I'm like, well, who are those guys? Who the hell are those guys? I don't know who those guys are. Weird. And then a buddy of mine, Johnny LaQuasto from Wrestling Compadres, he's been on the Schmodown. He came over to me. He's like, hey, man, is that Macaulay Culkin? And I'm like, oh, shit. It is Macaulay Culkin. So anyway, I'm setting up and Booker comes there. And next thing I know, Macaulay Culkin's coming around and he starts chatting with Booker and I for a minute. And then after the whole event was over, I was talking to Macaulay. You know, he had listened to the show. He knew the whole thing with Corey that I talked about, Booker and Corey, earlier in the show. We were chopping it up. I'm actually looking on my shelf of all kinds of little doodads, and I've got bunny ears that Macaulay Culkin gave me. You know, he has a podcast and a website, bunnyears.com. Really fun stuff. So anyway, I met Macaulay Culkin. I remember taking it. I was like, man, I got to get this shot. Home Alone's my favorite movie. I never wanted to be that fanboy, but I had to fanboy out a little bit. You know what I mean? So, you know, we did that, and I've kind of been in contact with him a little bit since. But, you know, shout out to Macaulay Culkin. I want to get the Culk on this podcast or on Heated Conversations. We got to make that happen, Culley. We got to make it happen, brother. So, anyway, I think I'm going to do, like, a little mini-series on Home Alone. I don't know if they're going to be just commentaries over the five movies, what I'm going to do yet, but I got to do something, you know? And I got to come up with a name, like, You Filthy Animal or something. I don't know, some quote from the movie. We'll come up with something for Home Alone, but I think I'm going to do a little separate podcast for that. And by the way, I know I've taken a break from the Brad Gilmore Show, also took a 3-week break real quick, just a quick siesta from Back to Future, the podcast, but I got new episodes coming out this week. So don't worry, guys. If you're a fan of the show, new episodes coming out this week. But hey, I'm going to put a bow on this. A lot of stuff going to be happening, though, with the Brad Gilmore Show going forward. I know I always tease stuff like this, but I really do have big plans, huge plans. 2019's around the corner. Time to get this thing up and moving. It's 8-year anniversary of the show coming up, so got to make some ish happen. My brother, testify. So anyway, at Brad Gilmore on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Heated Conversations, Schmodown Rundown, Back to the Future, the podcast, David G. Meltzer, David Bixenspan. Come on the show. Let's talk about it, brother. Until next time. Peace.